Jesus, Lord, we want to thank you for your presence this morning. Lord, we worship you and we trust in you, Lord. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the transformation that you began in our lives last week. Lord, by faith, we believe that you have started a good work in us, Father. Lord, in each of us, Lord, you're creating in us by your Holy Spirit the ability to break out of soulish living, Lord, and to start walking in the Spirit. Lord, we pray, Lord, that we'll not only be listeners of the word, that we will be doers of the word. Bless us this morning, Lord. May your counsel prevail in our spirits, Lord. May your counsel prevail in our minds, Father God, Lord. We pray, Lord, that Lord, that this transformation process would gather momentum this week, Lord. That we would be people who walk by the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We worship you this morning. We give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. We are in the second week of the series, Breaking Out of Soulish Living. Breaking Out of Soulish Living. And this is going to be a four-week series. And it's based on a set of teachings by a person called Pastor Benny Ho. Not Benny Hinn, Benny Ho. He's a pastor who resides in Australia. And he heads a Bible college in Australia. And he also teaches at a Bible college in Singapore. And I started last week's message with a question: what is walking in the Spirit? That's the question that we started off with last week. What is walking in the Spirit? And we saw how man was created as a tripartite being with a spirit, a soul, and the body. And we saw that through my spirit, I get revelation from God. Through my soul, I get intellectual knowledge. And through my body, I get sensory knowledge. And we saw two types of living: soulish living and walking in the Spirit. When my life is ruled by my soul, which is my mind, my will, and my emotions. My mind is what I think, my will is what I want, my emotions is how I feel. So when my life is ruled by what I think, what I want, how I feel, then we are leading a soulish life. When the spirit man is in fellowship with God's Spirit, when the spirit of man is in fellowship with God's Holy Spirit, and when the spirit of man is in charge, is ruling over the soul and the body, then we are walking in the Spirit. And we saw that walking in the Spirit is really the key to victorious Christian living. That was a bit of a quick recap. I'm hoping most of us will be able to recall some of the things that we went through last week. So last week's question was, what is this walking in the Spirit? And this week too, I'm going to start with a question. And the question this week is, how many of us walked in the Spirit last week? That's the question. How many of us walked in the Spirit last week? We listened last week. We understood. That is mind knowledge. That is knowledge in the soul. And if things had stopped there, and if nothing has changed during the week, during the last week, if we haven't seen any tangible change in our life, that is one evidence that we are living a soulish life. Remember last week we saw that one of the manifestations of soulish living is that we can explain, but we can't experience. That was one of the manifestations we saw last week of soulish living. We know the Word of God, we know what the Word of God says, but we are unable to live it out. We are unable to live that Word out in our life. That's one example, one manifestation of a soulish life. So if we had heard the Word of God last week, and if we haven't really been able to implement it, see some change in our life, we are still walking in the Spirit. On the other hand, if after what we heard last week, if our inner man had been strengthened, if we had been consciously strengthening our spirit man using the steps that we had heard last week in terms of praying in tongues, depending on the strength that comes from the Holy Spirit, if we have seen changes, that means we have started our walk in the Spirit. We have started walking in the Spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So I'm really believing that by the time we finish this four-week series, we will see transformation in our life. And I've also been very painfully aware, I must confess, very painfully aware of my own requirements. You know, that I also need to, as I prepare, as I share, I also need to make sure that I implement all of this in my personal walk with God. Every day morning I subscribe to a website called mytoday.com. So on my mobile I get a verse in the morning. You know, first thing in the morning the message SMS comes and I read it, and it's good to start the day with some verse from the Word of God. And I'm going to read out what I got today. You know, this makes me even more conscious today. And the verse that I received today was Romans 2:21. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? Do you not teach yourself? You know, I woke up, I saw this and I laughed. And you know, it made me even more, I'm going to switch my mobile off, and even more painfully aware of my, that I need to put this. So I'm going to encourage all of us that as we listen to the word this week, we're going to try. And I'm sure many of us have tried. I believe that there is change. There was change last week. And we're going to hear and we're going to implement this in the week again. Amen? Amen. God has called us to be doers of the word and not just listeners. Now this week I'm going to start by introducing a Greek word called phorneo. It is spelled P-H-O-R-N-E-O, phorneo. It means to think, to understand, it means mindset, mental inclination, the way we think. That's the meaning of this word. And man's soul, which is his mind, his will, and his emotions, is very deep, and it's quite complex. It's quite complicated. Think of it as a supercomputer. You know, it's so immense, and the powers of the mind are so huge. But even a supercomputer can sometimes be infected with a computer virus. The entire CPU gets infected with a computer virus, and then it becomes difficult. You know, you can use an illustration to think of sin in our life. When Adam first sinned, his mind, the computer, got infected. You know, you could say that his phorneo, the mindset of Adam, got corrupted. And the Bible talks about five different mindsets. And you're going to run through these five different mindsets. The Bible talks about five different mindsets. The first four mindsets happened after sin came and the mindset became corrupted. So let's run through these. The first mindset is an earthly mindset. Earthly mindset. If you have an earthly mindset, you generally have no room for God's purposes and God's agenda. Your mind is completely absorbed in earthly concerns that you do not allow God's purposes to work in your life. You know, one classic contrast of a man walking with a heavenly agenda and a man walking with an earthly agenda is Jesus and Peter. Jesus was walking in the Spirit. He was one with the Spirit. And Peter, for much of his initial days of discipleship, he pretty much had an earthly agenda. And I'm going to present one verse where we see this contrast between a heavenly agenda, a heavenly mindset, and an earthly mindset coming to the fore. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 to 23. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Now Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man." Now Jesus is telling Peter, you are leading a soulish life. Now Jesus is telling Peter, you have an earthly mindset. Now Jesus had a heavenly mindset. He had a heavenly agenda. And his agenda was to go to the cross. But Peter was an earthly mindset. I'm sure he must be thinking, what is this, Lord? You know, I've given up my work and I'm following you. I'm thinking you're going to become the Messiah. You're going to sit on the throne in Israel and you're telling me you're going to go to the cross and die. This is not going to happen. That's an earthly agenda. That's an earthly mindset. I'll give you another example, a very practical example. You know, most of us tithe in this church very regularly. But if you've come, you've just started coming to church, and if you're considering the question of tithing, it's a difficult question. You know, I personally went through the struggle myself when I first decided, made a choice to tithe. You know, you think, God, I 100% of my salary, 100% of my salary is not enough. Now, if I have only 90%, if I'm going to give away 10%, how am I going to manage? You know, let's assume that you have a salary of 20,000 rupees a month, and you say, Lord, 20,000 rupees is not enough. And if I give away 2,000 as tithe, how am I going to manage with that 18,000? That's an earthly mindset. I'm sure all of us have seen this advertisement of the EverReady battery. You have about 5 or 6 of these toy rabbits lined up, and every rabbit has a battery. One of them is an EverReady battery. And the bunnies, all the rabbits start walking. And slowly one rabbit stops, another rabbit stops, the third rabbit stops, the fourth rabbit stops. But a rabbit with a special battery, he keeps walking on and on and on. You know, tithing is like that. When we tithe, God makes our salary last longer. The moral of the story is that tithing rabbit walks longer. The tithing rabbit walks longer. You know, we spoke about last week, and one of the manifestations of soulish living is that we know the word of God, but we are not able to live it out. Take tithing. We know the word of God. How many of us know that God is our provider? If you know, amen. If we know that God is our provider, and that's in mind, that's the knowledge that we have in our mind, that's soulish wisdom. Now, if that knowledge in the mind finds expression in faith, and if we really believe that God is our provider, and that faith finds expression in my life by the act of tithing, because if God is my provider, my rabbit will keep walking on. Amen. And if you find that expression, then we are walking. We are walking in the Spirit. We are walking in the Spirit. So we need to move away from an earthly mindset and move in to a heavenly mindset. And that's what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Develop a heavenly mindset and give up your earthly mindset. So that's the first mindset. The second mindset that the Bible talks about is a carnal mindset. A carnal mindset. Romans chapter 8 verse 5. We saw this verse last week. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds on what the Spirit desires. You know, a carnal mindset chases the desires of the flesh. It seeks out the pleasures of life. You know, if you have a carnal mindset, you're constantly, the carnal mindset is constantly trying, you know, craving for the sinful nature, craving to satisfy the sinful nature. That's the second mindset, second for new, that was the word we saw. The third mindset is a haughty mindset. The third mindset is a haughty mindset. Remember we spoke about this vice president last week, Vice President Prawns. So I'm sure some of us will remember. So I'll tell you a secret. It takes a proud man to appreciate another proud man. And if you're proud, if you're able to admire a proud man, it's probably because there's an element of pride. There's an element of pride in yourself. You know, you can be proud about many things. You can be proud about your education. You can be proud about your career. You can be proud about your designation, family background, many things. You know, but I reserve one special category. I call them the super proud people. You know, I've encountered a few of them in my life. You know, they're a special category, rare breed. You know, these people, can you guess what these people are proud of? Can you guess what these people are proud of? They're proud of their humility. They're proud, they're so proud that they are humble. You know, and you know, there are all kinds of people. See, a haughty mindset can lead to deception. A haughty mindset can lead to deception. You know, Hitler is an example. He was so deceived in his pride that he actually believed that he could create a superior race. And the result was 6 million Jews were wiped out. And we need to pull down the haughty mindset. We need to pull down the haughty mindset. And here is a tip. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. In accordance, think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. What the Bible is telling us is, don't judge yourself by your ability. Don't judge yourself by your achievement. Judge yourself by your faith. In accordance with the measure of faith that you've given us. You know, next week, if you come on stage and you share a very good message which really revives the church, don't judge yourself on your ability or on your achievement, but judge yourself
by the faith that you have exercised in that act. And that's the tip that the Bible gives us in terms of how we can overcome the haughty mindset. And this is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11:30. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. Because it is in my weakness that God's strength prevails. Our ability is soulish, but faith comes from the Spirit of God. Our ability is soulish, but faith comes from the Spirit of God. The fourth mindset that the Bible talks about is childish mindset. You know, childish Christians, you know, don't say what they mean. They're thinking something in their heart, but they're saying something. You know, there was this couple who were courting, and they were about to get married, so they were spending some time getting to know each other. And one day they had a big fight. You know, this boy was supposed to go pick the girl up somewhere, and he arrived late or whatever. And this girl was so angry, she said, "I'm going to break up," and she walks away. So this boy, he really loved this girl, and you know, he's looking forward to their marriage. And he called up his pastor the next day morning. "Pastor, you know, I'm very depressed. This is what happened. She fought with me, and she said she's going to break up." Pastor said, "No, don't worry." The pastor knew both of them well. He said, "No, don't worry. Where do you generally meet her, and what time?" So this boy says, "You know, this is where I meet her at this time." He says, "You go there today. She'll be there." So this boy thinks, "Really? Okay." So he says, "Okay." And he goes, and sure enough, that girl is there. She's there at that place. So he drives down and he stops his car next to her, and he says hi. And you know, he stops beside the car beside her, and you know, she just walks around the car, opens the door, sits in the seat, puts on the seat belt, and looks out of the window like this. Childish mindset. And you know, after that, the pastor called the two of them together, the couple who were going to get married, called them together, and he asked that girl, "Did you really mean it when you say you're going to break up? You're going to break up?" No, no, pastor. I didn't mean it." Sometimes, you know, childish Christians, you know, we have something in our heart, but we say something else. We need to grow up. The Bible says that we need to be childlike in our faith. We need to be childlike in our faith, not childish. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 11. "When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me." Have you seen children play? You know, 4 or 5 of them, you know, they'll all be together happy, and you know, suddenly all of them will be in one corner. You know, today I friend you, tomorrow I no friend you. You know, sometimes we see that in the cell environment, but that's not what we're called for. We are called to be mature Christians, not childish Christians. One of the biggest challenges, one of my greatest challenges in life is to play cricket with my son. You know, it's really a challenge. So, you know, invariably he picks up the bat and I pick up the ball. So I lob a ball at him and he gives it a real whack. You know, he gives a real whack, you know, almost like Dhoni, and his ball's gone far away. So I applaud him, and he's very excited. Then I go, like a good daddy, I go fetch the ball, and I lob it, the throw it the next time, and this time he's so excited that he's done something. He's so excited that he's not watching the ball, and he takes another swing, and he misses it. Then I throw it again, and again he misses it. Now he's getting wild. I can see that he's getting a little angry. The fourth time, again he misses it. Fifth time he misses it, and this time he's very angry. So the next time, you know, he misses it, he gets so angry, you know, he keeps the bat, he puts his hand on his hips, and he says, "Daddy, can't you see this bat? It's a big bat. You throw the ball to the bat. Don't throw it somewhere else." You know, childish Christians, we play by our rules. Either we do it in our way, or we don't do it at all. We don't do it at all. That's not what we are called for. We need to grow out of a childish mindset. You know, this seems like a joke, but if you look, you know, all of us, sometimes we don't like it. We don't like, so we won't do. We won't like that environment, so we won't do. No, that's not what we call. That's soulish. We need to grow out of that. The fifth mindset, you know, so we've seen four. The first is an earthly mindset, a carnal mindset, a haughty mindset, and a childish mindset. The fifth mindset that the Bible talks about is a transformational mindset. A transformational mindset. The first four mindsets are soulish. And we've been talking about soulish living. The first four mindsets are soulish, but we are called to have a transformational We are called to have a transformational mindset. Romans chapter 12 verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing and perfect will. Now as we start walking in the Spirit, we started that last week. I believe that. You know, as we start walking in the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God will start transforming our mind day by day. The Spirit of God will then, you know, put it into our heart. Put it in the, He'll take the Word of God, the Spirit of God will take the Word of God and start working the Word of God into our life. Into our life. Every time, slowly, slowly, gradually, He will take the Word of God and work the Word of God into our life, into our mind. And slowly, slowly our mind will be transformed. We have to allow the Spirit of God to work God's Word into our minds, and then transformation will start happening. You know, the question, there's a question that Christians ask each other often. You know, how is your walk with God? Common question, how is your walk with God? And most often, the answer is up and down. Up and down, brother. You know, that's a response that we tend to give. You know, the Bible never talks about up and down walk with God. The Bible talks about an in and out walk with God. Let me explain this. Philippians chapter 2 verse 12 to 13. Philippians chapter 2. Well, I don't have the verse in the notes. Philippians chapter 2 verse 12 to 13. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His purpose. It is God who works in you to will and to act according to His purpose. God works into our life and we work it out. God works into our mind and we work it out. The more we allow God to work into our minds, the more we are able to work it out. You know, allow the Spirit of God to work God's Word into our minds. Once that happens, we will be able to work it out. So if I ask you today, how is your walk with God? What would you say? In and out. In and out. God works it in, we work it out. God works it into our heart and we work it out. And that is transformational mindset. That is transformational mindset. And that is how we overcome. We break out of soulish living and we start walking in the Spirit. Now these are the five mindsets that we talked about. And we need to stay away from the first four mindsets and start moving into a transformational mindset. Now I'm going to talk about three things that lead to a soulish life. Three things that lead to a soulish life, and we need to really watch out for this. Three things that lead to a soulish life. The first, man consciousness. You know, one of the evidence of soulish life is that we are constantly comparing. That is an evidence of soulish life. You know, Meena brought this word to us last week. Don't compare. We shouldn't be comparing. And comparing is because of you're conscious of men, of what men think of you. You know, there was this young girl in a church, a pretty girl, a very pretty, pretty girl, and you know, she would always sit in the front row, and you know, she would worship God. And one day after the service, she walked up to the pastor. Pastor, can I have 5 minutes with you? And the pastor said, yeah, sure, we can talk for 5 minutes. And the girl said, Pastor, I'm really struggling with this besetting sin. You know, I'm really struggling with this sin. And, you know, I'm not able to break out of it. So I need to confess it to someone and I need to take the help of someone, of a leader. So he said, yeah, you tell me what the sin is. You know, she told the pastor, Pastor, every time I come to church, you know, I can't help but look at all the other women. And once I've done that, I can't help but decide that I'm the prettiest of them all. You know, I'm the prettiest of them all, you know. So she's been comparing. So the pastor said, no, don't worry. It's not a sin. It's just an honest mistake. You're actually not as beautiful as you think you are. So she was, you know, she was upset. So, no, comparing is not a mistake. Comparing is a sin. Comparing is a sin. 1 Samuel chapter 18, 6 and 9. There was a man who had a great call upon him. A wonderful call of God. But this man started comparing himself with another man. And his downfall slowly started. You know, this man ultimately lost his calling. You're talking about Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 6 and 9. When the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the women came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing, with joyful song, with tambourines and lutes. And as they danced, they sang, "Saul has slain his thousands, David his tens of thousands." Verse 8, Saul was very angry. The refrain called him. "They have credited David with tens of thousands," he thought, "but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom?" And from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. That is soulish living. Saul was reacting in a soulish nature. Last week we saw how David, as an example of a man who walked in the Spirit, the spirit man inside David was able to take control of the soul and the body, and how he was able to walk in the Spirit. And Saul is an example of soulish living. We're going to use this contrast a bit more today. David, man walking in the Spirit. Saul, a man leading a soulish life. Now I'm going to contrast Saul's character, how Saul reacts with jealousy to David. I'm going to contrast that with another incident of what it is like to react by walking in the Spirit. John the Baptist began his ministry, and he was baptizing many people. And you know, at that time he was probably the most anointed preacher in the whole of Judea. So he starts a church. You know, his believers, they come together, they meet every day. And you know, let's call this the First Baptist Church of Judea. Appropriate name, right? First Baptist Church of Judea. You know, so he's doing his ministry. And then Jesus comes along. And all the disciples start going to Jesus. You know, they start going to be baptized by Jesus, and they start going to Jesus. And one day, many of his disciples come running to John and say, Pastor John, there's a new pastor who's come, Pastor Jesus. And you know what? He's taking away all your believers, and he's starting a church. That's Pastor Jesus. And how does John react? John chapter 3, verse 26 to 27. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, the man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, well, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him." To this John replied, "A man can receive only what is given him from heaven." We don't need to compare. We can receive only what God has given us. That's the attitude. And verse 30, John says, "He must become greater. I must become less." This is not like Saul. Getting jealous. No. John had this attitude. You know, he knew that a man can receive only what God gives him. That is walking in the Spirit. A man can receive only what God gives him. The spirit man receives from God. The spirit man waits on God and receives from God. The soulish creature grabs whatever he can get. That's our soulish nature. We grab whatever we can get. I want this. That's how the soulish being reacts. So that's the first thing, man consciousness. That's the first thing that we need to watch out for. We'll slip into a soulish lifestyle very easily if we stay man conscious. The second is money consciousness. That's the second thing we need to watch out for, money consciousness. Trusting God in money matters is a big challenge. It's easy to trust God when you have nothing. When you don't have money, it's easy to trust God. I've experienced this. But when you have lots of money, when you're earning a good salary, it's always more difficult to trust God. Let me illustrate this. If you have no money, right? If you hardly have anything, it's easy. Lord, everything I have is yours. It's easy to say that. But if you have lots of money, you're holding on. No, it's difficult. It's difficult to give. It's difficult to give. You know, when I was drawing a very low salary, 1,500 rupees a month or something many years ago, you know, I would joyfully give 500. But when I started earning more and more, it became difficult to give until I had to deal with that. And God dealt with me. You know, if we become money conscious, it's very easy for us to slip into a soulish lifestyle. I'm not saying money is bad. I'm not saying any such thing. It's just that if we stay focused, if we become money conscious, we can very easily slip to the ways of thinking with our mind and conforming to the pattern of the world. You know, we need to move away from money consciousness. Soulish leadership tends to be money conscious. Soulish leadership grabs. You know, we've been talking about Saul. So when Saul, God first anointed Saul as king, this is what God says. This is what we read in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 10 to 18. This is Samuel speaking. Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. I'm reading from 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 10 to 18. Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "This is what the king who will reign over you will do. He will take your sons and make them serve with the chariots." Verse 13. "He will take your daughters." Verse 14. He will take the best of your fields and the vineyards and the olive groves. He will take a tenth of your grain. And verse 16. "He will take your maidservants and men servants and the best of your cattle." Verse 17. "He will take a tenth of your flocks." He will take. You know, that's the verse which is repeated. That's the phrase which is repeated again and again and again. Soulish leadership grabs. Soulish leadership takes. It takes. That's a soulish bent of mind. That's a soulish lifestyle. Let me give an example. Let's differentiate the church and the government. You know, see, all authority is established by God. So the government is established by God, and we respect government authority. But all governments, most governments, function under soulish wisdom. That's the wisdom that the men and women who govern us use. And what is the tax rate? 33%. 33%. It hurts, right? Now, all of us are supposed to pay our taxes. You know, we should pay our taxes, every rupee. But that's what a soulish leadership does. That's what a soulish, it will take. But spiritual leadership will give. Spiritual leadership will give. And we see that in our church. Our leaders are willing to give their time, their counsel, their prayers, their care. Spiritual leadership, church leadership is willing to give. Not so the soulish leadership. That's the second. We saw about the danger of being man conscious. We saw the danger of being money conscious. The third danger is the third thing we need to watch out for, and this can also make us slip into a soulish lifestyle, is becoming ministry conscious. Ministry conscious. When I say ministry, I refer to church ministry and I refer to work ministry, because all of us believe that the work we do is also a ministry into God. And sometimes we get so caught up in our ministry that we forget about God. You know, it can happen to even church people. We get so caught up with the ministry that we're doing that we forget God. We get so caught up with the work that we're doing in office that we sometimes tend to forget God. You know, we think we are building God's kingdom, but actually we may be ending up building our own kingdom. And we need to watch out for this. You know, I'll tell you something. Whether you're in church ministry or whether you're in work ministry, three things, very important. We need to know our portion. We need to know our station. And we need to know our season. Let me repeat this. We need to know our portion. What it is that God has given us. What is it that God has given us? A man can receive only what God has given us. We need to know our portion. We need to know our station. Where is it that God has called us to be? Where is it that God has placed us? Recognize your station. Be content in your station. Don't covet another man's station. In work, it sometimes happens. You know, we have this temptation. You know, never covet another man's station. Be content where God has placed you. And the third is, we must know our season. John the Baptist knew his portion. He knew what he was called to do. He knew his station. He knew where he was to be placed and what his job was. And he knew his season. And he knew when the season passes that he would have to become less and Christ will have to become more. I'm saying this from Psalm 16 verse 5 to 6. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. That's my portion. The Lord has assigned us what he wants us to do. He has assigned us. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. That is my station. God has placed. God has set the boundary lines for us. And God is good. So he knows what is good for us. And he has set the boundary lines. So we need to know where God has placed us. And we need to be content with our portion. We need to be content with our station. Now if we do that, if we are faithful, then the season will change. And there will come a season when God will lift us up. When God will lift us up. Never strive to achieve. Never strive, never desire to achieve. You know, the soulish creature grabs. The spirit man receives from God. The soulish creature strives to achieve. The soulless creature has selfish ambition. It strives to achieve. But the spirit man submits to the season. The spirit man submits to the season and he flows with the season. He knows what is his portion, what is his station, and what is the season. And he will just submit. He will not rebel. He will just submit. The soulless creature demands. You know, that's our nature. That's how when we go by what I think, what I want, how I feel, we demand. But the spirit man submits. The spirit man submits. God favors those of us who submit. God really favors. You know, and this is true even with men. And even in our work, or wherever, or in church, wherever this is true. You know, the more we demand with other people, the more we demand, the more they will defend. The more we submit, the more they will permit. A submissive spirit is pleasing. Let me say that again. The more we demand, the more they defend when it comes to dealing with people. But the more we submit, the more they will permit. The soulish man demands. The soulish man demands. He strives. But the spirit man, the inner man, submits to God and submits to authority. We saw that last week. One more manifestation of soulish living is that if you're driven by your emotions and if you're driven more by your passion than by submission to authority, then chances are we are leading a soulish life. But God does not want us to be man conscious. God does not want us to be money conscious. God does not even want us to be ministry conscious. But God has called us to be master conscious. And that's how we should do. And if we order our steps being master conscious, then we will not keep slipping back into a soulish kind of a lifestyle. So how do we overcome? How do we overcome this soulish living? How do we break out of man consciousness, money consciousness, ministry consciousness? How do we become master conscious? How do we break out of soulish living? And how do we start walking in the Spirit? We saw 3 points yesterday. Last week we spoke about 3 points. One is pray more in tongues, because speaking in tongues helps us to bypass our mind and helps the spirit man connect with the Spirit of God. Depend more on the Spirit of God. Depend on the strength that comes from the Spirit of God. We saw that last week. We're going to look at a few more points this week. How do I break out of soulish living and how do I start walking in the Spirit? There was this man in America and he was an African American and he was a drug addict, and for many years he struggled with drugs, and finally he went to a gospel meeting and he got saved and he started coming to church. And the pastor who had led him to the Lord, he was also an African American, and they were in the US. And so one day, this man was in church and the pastor was talking to him. So in the typical way they speak, the pastor asks him, "How's it going, man? How's it going?" And this man who struggled with drugs, but he's now started coming to the church, and he says, "It's like two dogs fighting, man. It's like two dogs fighting. A good dog and a bad dog. Two dogs fighting inside me. A good dog and a bad dog." So the pastor asks him, "Which dog is winning, Jude? Which dog is winning?" And the man says, "The dog that I'm feeding. The dog that I'm feeding. The dog that I'm feeding is winning, man." You know, he's got it right. Very, very simple illustration, but he's really got it right. The man that we feed, if we keep feeding our spirit man, if we keep feeding our spirit man, the spirit man will become stronger and stronger and stronger. But if we keep feeding our soulish natures, if we keep feeding our soulish nature, our soulish creature will start becoming stronger and stronger and will subdue the spirit man. That's really the choice that we have. Do you want to feed the good dog, or do you want to feed the bad dog? That's how we overcome. You know, turn to your neighbor, pat him and say, good dog. No, don't say good dog. Turn to your neighbor, pat him and say, feed the good dog. Feed the good dog. Feed the good dog. That's what we need. And we saw this last week. Before Adam sinned, we saw the spirit, the soul, and the body. The spirit man of Adam was in charge of the soul and of the body. And therefore, Adam was able to walk in the spirit. But after he sinned, the spirit was the master. The soul was the housekeeper. And the body was the servant. But after sinning, the spirit of man got cut off from the spirit of God. And the spirit man lost all his strength. And the soul started ruling. Now we have to overcome that with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the strength that comes from the Holy Spirit. We have to overcome that, and we have to keep feeding the good man. We have to keep strengthening the inner man. And that is how we can break out of soulish living. And that is how we can start walking in the Spirit. Start walking. We need to feed the good dog. We need to fight the good fight. And that's the way forward. We need to be aware and keep strengthening the spirit man. Now there is one place that really denotes the ultimate victory over the flesh. The ultimate victory over the flesh. And that is at the cross. That is at the cross. And that it is at the cross that the flesh is crucified. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 to 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. The first step to break free from soulish living and to move on to a spirit-filled life is to go back to the cross. The cross is the place where God deals with the flesh. The cross is the place where God deals with the self. The cross is the place where God deals with sin. But we have to make that choice. We have to choose to go back to the cross. We choose or we lose. Or we lose. The first step is he must deny himself, take up the cross. If anyone would come after me, we have to take that decision, make that choice of going back to the cross. Going back to the cross. The second thing, he must deny himself. He must deny himself. What is this deny himself? It's not self-denial. This is not about going to some mountain, you know, spending 15 years in isolation, growing a long beard. No, that is not self-denial. Self-denial is very simply this. What I think, what I want, how I feel. If that's what is ordering our lives, then we are not denying ourselves. We are not denying ourselves. But if we are really following him, it's not what I want. It's not what I think. It's not how I feel. It's following him. That's what Jesus is whom we follow. And that is walking in the Spirit. Jesus is whom I follow. At the cross, when I come to the cross, when I am carrying my cross, when I am carrying the cross, I do not follow my will. I will not. I cannot. When I'm carrying the cross, I cannot follow my mind. I cannot follow my emotions. You know, I have to follow Jesus. You know, at the cross, I do not pursue what I want, what I think, how I feel. At the cross, I do not pursue my soulish way of life. You know, but I follow him. You know, ultimately, that's the most basic Christian principle. Go back to the cross. And that's what Galatians 2:20 says. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, what is the greatest accomplishment of Christian faith? What is the greatest accomplishment of Christian faith? It's not healing the sick. You know, it's not driving out demons. It's not even raising people from the dead. That's not the greatest achievement of Christian faith. Greatest achievement of Christian faith is death to the self. Death to the soulish creature. Death to the self. And only when that happens, can we start walking in the Spirit. At the cross, Jesus chose to give up Jesus chose to die to the self. He chose to give up his rights, and he chose to obey his Father. The cross is where we give up soulish living and we start walking in the Spirit. And last week I ended with Psalm 42, where we spoke about how David strengthened his spirit man to overcome the depression of his soul. You know, Psalm 42 we read, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God." And David is addressing his soul. His soul is depressed. His soul is, you know, emotionally down. His soul is frustrated. He says, his spirit man inside David asks his soul, "Why are you downcast?" And then the spirit man instructs the soul, "Put your hope in God, for I, the spirit man, will yet praise Him, for He is my Savior and my God." And last time, I ended with David. And we're going to end with David again. But I'm going to take David and I'm going to contrast him with Saul. David is a man who symbolizes walking in the Spirit. Saul is a man who symbolizes walking in a soulish lifestyle. And I believe that God has a prophetic word for us this morning. God has a prophetic word for us this morning. And He's going to transform us. And I want to read chapter 2 Samuel chapter 3 verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 3 verse 1. "The war between the house of Saul and the house of David lasted a long time. David grew stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker." David grew stronger and stronger, while the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. The good dog inside us will have to grow stronger and stronger, and the back dog will grow weaker and weaker. And I believe that's what God wants to tell us today. For much too long, this battle inside us, we saw that last week, the verse from Galatians chapter 5, there is this conflict that is happening inside us. And for far too long have we allowed this conflict to continue. And I believe that God wants to intervene. And this is what God is telling us, that the house of David, the spirit man inside us, will grow stronger and stronger and stronger. And the house of Saul, the soulish creature, our soulish lifestyle, will grow weaker and weaker and weaker. And we will be transformed from being soulish creatures into people, into men and women who walk in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Shall we declare that in faith? Can we just rise up for a moment, please? Can we just rise up for a moment, please? Repeat after me. And we're going to say this. And last week we made a declaration, and this week we're going to make a declaration as well. Please repeat after me. My spirit is growing stronger. My flesh is growing weaker. I'm dead to the flesh. I'm alive to the Spirit. I'm dead to sin and I'm alive to Christ. My spirit is growing stronger. My flesh is growing weaker. I'm dead to the flesh and I'm alive to the Spirit. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to Christ. Amen. Amen. And amen. You know, we'll be doing 2 more weeks of this series. We won't do it next week. But next week is Father's Day, so we'll do it the week after and the week after that. And then we will complete the next 2 weeks. And the last 2 weeks of the series, we are going to be focusing on the person and the power of the Holy Spirit, and how we can use the power of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit will enable us to strengthen our spirit man, that we might overcome and that we might break out of soulish living. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Father, we want to thank you for having spoken to us, Lord. And Lord, we know that your word has come, Lord, in the right times, Lord. Lord, when the world, Lord, is out to deceive us, Lord, lure us, Lord, into, Lord, its own way of thinking, Lord. But Lord, we want to ask you, Father God, for grace, that Lord, we will have a transformational mindset, Lord Jesus. Not an earthly mindset, not a carnal mindset. Not a haughty mindset and not a childish mindset, Lord. Lord, we want to be people, Father God, Lord, who would work out our salvation, knowing that you're working in us, Lord Jesus. We know, Father God, that it's, Lord, a daily battle, Father God. Lord, it's a battle that we face every moment, Lord, to choose to live by the Spirit, Lord, and not to live by the flesh. Lord, this morning we ask you, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we want to confess, Lord, that we are weak in many areas, Lord. We need your strength, Lord. And sometimes, Lord, we are weak to the point, Lord, where we have come to say, I don't have a way out of this. I've become addicted to this. I have no hope in this situation. But Lord, this morning, even as we have heard your word, Father God, and we know that there is power in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is power, Lord, when we look up to you, Father God, and Lord, when we know that the blood that was shed for us from the cross has the power to deliver us, Lord Jesus. We ask you this morning, visit our hearts, Lord, visit our lives, Lord, and break us free from those soulish addictions, Father God, that we would choose to live by the Spirit, Father God. We would choose, Lord, to feed, Lord, the right things, the things of the Spirit, Father God. Lord, we would learn to draw from your word, learn to, Lord, speak in tongues, Father God, learn to be connected to the Holy Spirit, Father God. Lord, learn to memorize your scriptures, Father God. And Lord, that way we would strengthen, Lord, our inner man, our inner beings, Lord Jesus. That Lord, at the time of temptation, at the time of difficulties and crisis, Lord, we would stand, we would be able to stand up by your grace, Lord Jesus. Truly, we want to be people, Father God, who would live by the Spirit, who would be called dead to self and sin, Father God, and alive in Christ to enjoy the things that you have in store for us, Lord, and to be a source of blessing to others, Lord. Lord, strengthen us and anoint us, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. God bless.